The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Bird's Eye View. Here, first day of May. May Day episode, I guess. May Day recording, May Day broadcast. I'm Jesse. I'm here with Mike and our special guest, Howard Herman. On WTBR, WSBR. Hope you're all doing all right here. I've been having trouble the last like 12 hours because there was a picture that went around, and Stephon Castle of the NBA San Antonio Spurs.
You're going to say a view.
No.
What happened? What do we need to do?
No. Stephon Castle.
I've got enough money. We can pay bail.
Okay. Of the NBA's San Antonio Spurs won the Rookie of the Year. So
he did.
Had him next to all the other Spurs who won Rookie of the Year, which includes Tim Duncan, obviously a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest power forwards of all time. David Robinson, a Hall of Famer. And Victor Wembanyama, who's a young rising star. And it's just when Victor Wembanyama stands next to people, they have a habit of looking like Howard. And so when you can make Tim Duncan, who's 6'11", and David Robinson, who's 7'1", look tiny, not to mention Stephon Castle's probably about 6'7", it's just a crazy photo to look at. Just wild. Like, Wemby he shouldn't be that large. He's just not normal. And he's so skinny, too. So he just looks long. He's just stretched out. And, yeah, so it's just very wild to see that, like, Tim Duncan looking, you know, small. He shouldn't look small. I know, this is apropos of nothing. But it's just very, very weird. To see, because obviously, you know, when you put them on an NBA court for the majority of their careers, they were the largest dude there. I guess maybe unless they played Yao Ming, and Yao Ming's always been this freak of nature and was like, whatever, he's 7'6", it doesn't make sense anyway. And then Wemby comes along and you're going, oh no, this is gonna happen.
Which makes you wonder when the Spurs are gonna get good again.
It's a weird flex to post that photo and be like, hey,
because
we were the worst team in basketball at least four times.
Kind of.
Yeah, and now they have, you know, two rookies of the year. You would expect them next year to be a playoff team, be a good playoff team, because you have that kind of talent.
Yeah, plus De'Aaron Fox, Chris Paul maybe. We'll see what happens with Pop. He might retire.
And move to the land that he allegedly owns up in Powell, Vermont.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, he's had a stroke, so he deserves, and he's old, and he's been coaching a long time. He deserves it. What does Hank have to say on the matter?
We should all be so lucky to retire to Pownell.
Yeah, we should all be so lucky to retire, period.
Well.
In today's economy. But we'll move on from that. Yeah, I just had to get that off my chest, how tall Victor Wembanyama is. It was a secret that I was keeping.
Weird that we would start with Victor Wembanyama over Rudy Gobert if we were talking enormous humans.
Well, there today. That's the thing. Okay, Rudy Gobert, fantastic playoff performance. He looks small next to Wemby.
He would, yeah.
He looks small. Like, he's 7'1". He is a giant by any measure. He is a giant, and then you put him next to Wemby, and it's like, look at you, we go bear. It's like, no, this doesn't make sense. In any case,
Jesse realizing that tall people exist.
No,
it's a wild start to the podcast.
It's not realizing.
I ran into Kendrick Perkins once on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, and like a bunch of the Celtics.
And I hope you know that when you've got yourself back up after running into him. You were not injured.
Did he set a screen on you?
He did. I actually didn't run it. I ran into, I think it was Pierce, who I was wearing Kendrick Perkins' jersey, and as one does in New Orleans. Some giant dude ran up to me yelling, "He's got a Perk jersey on," and it took me like a second to be like, "Holy, that's Paul Pierce. And then he waved over, I believe, Rondo, KG, and Perk. And then I took a picture with Kendrick Perkins.
That's very nice. Yeah.
Bizarre. No, yeah, bizarre story.
No, I had a friend in high school who was 6'7". Like, this is, you know, this is not... Being around tall people is not new. It's just that when you see somebody who's above tall.
Literal giants, yes.
Yeah. He is above tall.
Literal giants. It's like when Taconic mobs home plate after a home run, and you're like, oh, yeah, there's Kyle.
Yeah, no. You can see Kyle McGrath a mile away. Kyle. You know, 6 inches taller than everyone else on the team.
And I have a picture somewhere at home. This goes back a generation before, but there was an all-pro defensive tackle named Mike Barnes played for the then Baltimore Colts, which tells you how long ago it was. But Mike Barnes graduated from my high school the year before I did. And he was really good friends with all of my cousins. And one year, the Colts used to train in Pennsylvania. And I went to training camp because I was working at a radio station in York at the time. And somebody took a picture of 6'7", 260-pound Mike Barnes in pads with me standing next to him talking to him. And it's quite a difference.
A little bit of, yeah.
And it's not just difference. Like talking to a guy who's 6'7". It's
he's
a guy 6'7".
He's
in cleats. It's like when I used to go, when I would go to Bruins games and see Chara in the locker room on skate. He's a huge dude anyway. He's 6'9" on, you know, in his bare feet. In skates, he's like 7'4".
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't talked to him after a game. But the UMass goalie, Michael Rabel, is listed as 6'7". So, if you have to talk to him in skates, like, he's probably 6'9", easy.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. He will be playing in the NHL one day. But let's move on. That was our little pro debut,
yeah.
So to speak, cold open. Hit a few, let's see, let's start with a little quick hitters. That is a baseball and softball pun.
As it were.
Bree Lynch of Lee got 18 strikeouts in a win yesterday. She hits 800 for her career. 800 career strikeouts, very impressive. I think she's at 814 officially. Congratulations to her. Yeah. Lee needs her, and they got her, and so, she could very well hit 1,000 for her career. Got about half a season left. If Lee has a little bit of a softer schedule coming up, so they should be looking good to try and make Western Mass, make states, which would then, of course, give her more of an opportunity to get to 1,000, but doing well there. Lennox softball also cruised 22 over Smith Voke, and they will play Smith Voke again today, which kind of a little just weird. They play twice in 2 days.
Yeah, it's probably a rain
yeah,
thing.
I'm sure, yeah, rain thing. Yeah.
But
then
they have the big one Saturday.
They'll have the big one Saturday. They'll play Hoosick Valley. We'll talk more about that later. Baseball, Wacona smoked Amherst. Not really a huge shock. That was 5-inning game. Mount Everett beat Lee 10-3. Also not a huge shock. Pope Francis beat Taconic 9-6. Game was tied 4-4 after 2 innings. Pope Francis scored, I believe, 2 in the 4th, 3 in the 5th. And Taconic's comeback bid fell short. Once again, generating runs has really been the biggest issue for Taconic so far this season. Pittsfield taking a surprise loss to Belchertown 7-1. As Drew Pierce wrote, we didn't pitch well, we didn't field well, we made no adjustments to the plate. You can't win ball games against good teams when you do that. So, tough one for Pittsfield. They'll look to bounce back quickly because Friday they have West Springfield, which before Belchertown was the only team that had beat them.
And West Springfield lost earlier in the week to Taconic.
Right. So, it'll be an interesting game. Boys Lacrosse, Lennox beat Mount Greylock 9-6. Not really a huge surprise, Lennox winning. Although they were down at 2 at halftime, they won the second half 7-2. When you have Kitts and Stover, it makes things a lot easier. Bronley Boyd, very good. Mount Greylock, though, I think has shown that it will be a program to look out for. Losing a lot of games to good teams, but they're giving the good teams a run for their money, and that's kind of what's most important.
And especially when you think that team is primarily like eighth graders and freshmen.
Right. So They are, like I said, yeah, they're giving giving teams a run for their money with the young players, with the new players, new team, new program. So that is that's exciting to see that they are coming back with some force here. I guess we can keep it on lacrosse. The only Western Mass team ranked in the top 20 in the initial state power rankings. The one seed in Class C, the defending champion in Class C, Hoosick Valley, beat Mount Greylock. Or excuse me, beat McCann they did Tech. Beat McCann, like they beat McCann Tech yesterday. Mike, you were there. Yeah, they're 19 in the state D4 rankings.
Yeah,
and it was a good game.
I gotta say, I feel like I'm snapped back in after yesterday. Spring starts and it's the weather sucks for a little while and we're getting rained out and stuff, and then we just have a kind of a string of five inning softball and baseball games, a lot of blowouts, a lot of walks, a lot of sloppy play errors. So you go from the high of like super physical state tournament championship basketball stuff, and then you come into the spring and it's just like, all right, here we go. Hopefully this game goes seven innings. And this was, the first boys lacrosse game I saw this year. And it was, the weather's finally nice. And it was like super physical, super intense, loud, hitting, coaching stuff, like everything you want out of sports. So I feel like I'm back now. I kind of walked in like a malaise, like, all right. And then I was kind of chilling outside the fence till it was 5-4 at halftime, and then kind of wandered over to the team bench sidelines, and the second half was very fiery. Hoosick was down 5-4 at halftime. Don't think they were expecting that. Coach Jacob Anderson Hall, I find is one of the more level-headed coaches of a sport.
Yeah, no, he is. I read that in your story that, yeah, he was... He usually is not a screamer.
No.
He's not a yeller on the sidelines. He's pretty quiet. Like, he'll talk to his team. He'll tell them where to go, but he is not, like...
Yeah, not a complainer. Yeah. Not a, you know, no. Doesn't kind of... not demonstrative at all.
No.
So walking over during halftime, kind of walked by the Hoosick huddle and just heard him laying into the guys.
He was chewing?
And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because that's not who I envision him as. There are coaches that do that and do it to great effect, and this I have to say, worked. And I talked to him and Griffin Mucci after the game, which was just like, yeah, like the fire was lit. Hoosick comes out, goes 4-0 in the third quarter, builds up, I believe, a four-goal lead at one point, and early in the fourth quarter, and McCann just didn't quite have enough to catch up. I think there were 11 penalties on Hoosick's side, 9 on McCann. So very, very physical. Musa Thompson's an absolute tank.
He is. Yeah.
I was kind of very impressed with him. But the Owen Taylor kid, the Greylock kid who plays at Hoosick still, is, I think, the best just general lacrosse player. Like, as far as general lacrosse skill, from what I know of it, not that I've ever played lacrosse, but watching him is kind of, it's fun.
No, he was instrumental in the Lennox game because he completely controlled the faceoff circle for Hoosick, and that's why they won. So, yeah, it's not a huge surprise that he was big in the faceoff circle, that he, you know, made the offense work in your game.
Yeah, and as good a game as it was the most entertaining part about it, to a certain extent, is there are a bunch of Hoosick lacrosse players who play football,
right?
And they were playing,
Maxwell.
And they were playing against their coach yesterday.
Yes. What?
Yeah.
Oh, Hank
of the wrinkle.
Not a fan.
Added a wrinkle to the game, and I talked to Marshall after, and he's like, "Oh, it's all good fun." Same with Griffin Mucci, who was like, "Oh, I'm best friends with his son." Maxwell was going over talking to some of the guys before about, you know, how things are going, just kind of keeping updated on stuff. Some of them, where they're going to college, etc. And Marshall was kind of like in the handshake line after a very physical, intense game. There wasn't like any kind of animosity. He was just kind of said, you know, good game, guys. We'll see you in Western Mass. We'll see you in Western Mass. And that's the gist of what we hope Class C becomes.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that he's probably like, all right, keep up the physical play next year when you're playing for me.
Yes,
he's very happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But so Class C will be. It doesn't look like Greylock has a chance to get. I was like, oh, can we get a full foursome Berkshire County championship kind of quartet for Class C? But I don't know that Greylock will have enough to get in over. I think it's Granby is going to be the outlier there, because it'll be Hoosick, Lennox, McCann.
No, McCann's the four seed.
Yeah. So nobody's going to force out Graham. That's what I'm saying. Can we get Gray Luck in there somehow? So we'll just have a Berkshire County quartet. This is my thinking during the game yesterday when I hadn't looked at any numbers.
McCann is -4.4 and Gray Luck is -6.7.
Yeah, so Gray Luck's a fair amount out. They got to start winning games. But cool there. Anyway, I would envision it's going to be either Lennox probably will be there with Huzik, but that first round game now could be McCann.
Yeah, I mean, Huzik is kind of locked, at least as of right now. As of the initial
pretty
rankings,
locked into one, yeah.
Huzik is pretty much locked into one. They've been -0.4. That's 0.4. And Lennox is -2.68. Mm-hmm. So that's, over 2 points lower than Huzik, which gives Huzik a really huge advantage to start with. Granby's a point lower than Lennox. McCann is slightly less than a point lower than Granby. But it is a point higher than Smith-Vogue, who is, the first out. Mm-hmm. So all those guys are looking good to just kind of stay the course, and that's how it'll end up. So Huzik is very much kind of in the catbird seat to be the one seed, and Lennox is the same thing to be the two seed.
So, yeah, we're looking at another rematch.
We'll actually talk more about this soon, folks, but we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back. Hank seems very energetic today, so he might be giving you some lacrosse tidbits, but keep it locked here on WTBR and WSBR.
WTBR. 7 years.
Where does democracy actually begin? Well, it begins right here at home, at our local city and school meetings, the place where really big decisions are made that affect you and your family directly. With good TV coverage, these decisions are transparent. Our residents are well-informed, and elected officials are held accountable. Without reliable coverage, these decisions go under the radar. Support PCTV's local meeting coverage today. Pittsfield Community Television. Democracy starts here.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
And welcome back, everybody. 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee. I'm Jesse, here with Mike and Howard Herman on the Bird's Eye View. We were talking lacrosse, Western Mass seeding. Since we're talking about Western Mass seeding, I'll talk a little bit about baseball because there were a couple of insurmountable leads there. Pittsfield, the number one seed in Class B on the baseball side. They're the Class B champ last year. They're looking to defend their crown. And the Belchertown loss will take a little bit from their ranking.
Not just number one in Western Mass.
No, they're number one in the state in D4. Yeah. The Belchertown loss will probably knock them out of being one in the state. But in Western Mass, they have almost a 2-point lead over Smith-Vogue, which is the second seed. So they are really looking good to be the one seed in Class B. Taconic is the 3 seed. Monument Mountain is the 4 seed. Wakona is first out, but they are a full point behind Hampshire, so they have some catching up to do if they want to make Western Mass. They should be doing all right to make states. In Class C, Drury is the number one overall seed in Division 5, and they are the number one overall seed in Class C, well out in front. They're 2.5 points higher than the second seed, Westfield Tech. Pioneer Valley is kind of right behind them. Pioneer Valley is the one seed in Class D and is the 2 seed in D5. So Drury still has some work to do. They did take their first loss of the season to Mount Anthony up in Vermont. I talked to Jeff Polaris, the Drury athletic director, because he was at the game. He said Mount Anthony's the real deal. Their pitcher was awesome. It was a 3-1 game up until late, and then tacked on a few runs. It was a real team that they played. Good adversity, all that kind of stuff. Just a tough loss.
And I don't know how much that impacts them because of being an out-of-state team.
It will impact them, not as much, but it will impact them.
Well, they're not, and the only way they're going to not be the one seed in Class C is if they went to Bermuda for the rest of the year because they're like almost 4 points ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, they have a tough. I think they have a tougher schedule coming up next, so they'll definitely have to play well. But McCann is the 6th seed in Class C. Lennox is the 7th seed, and then in Class D, Mount Everett is the 2 seed. They will have to battle for that. Ware and Hopkins Academy, which are both good teams, are right behind them. But so a lot of Berkshire teams looking good on the baseball side of things, highly ranked. Pittsfield and Drury both look like they could be making runs, I think, to both Western Mass Finals and State Finals, or at least Final Fours. On the softball side, Kona is the 3 seed in Class B, which is a little surprising, but their league is very, very good, which helps raise them up. Taconic is the 4 seed. Pittsfield is the 6 seed. Monument Mountain is the 8 seed. In Class C, Lennox is the 2 seed, but Greenfield is so far out in front of everyone else as the 1 seed. Lennox is just hoping to stay in 2. McCann, Greylock, Drury are 4, 5, 6. And then in Class D, Hoosick is comfortably the 2 seed. Lee has some work to do. They very well likely could sneak in right now that they're 9th seed, but they're just behind Mohawk Trail, so they can make it. I saw Pittsfield and Hoosick Valley play yesterday. That was kind of like me. I saw three crazy games this week. Yeah. Saw McCann's comeback win over Granby. That was a really close game. And then Monument Mountain Lennox. And that was a good game, but there was just a lot of mistakes. And I don't know, there's something, maybe I wasn't just enjoying the moment as much. But Hoosick Valley versus Pittsfield yesterday. And I came into the season thinking to myself, like, Pittsfield is not going to win something big, but they could still be the best team in Berkshire County. Mm-hmm. You know, they're that talented, they're good enough. And, you know, they lost to Lennox, and that was a game they could have won. That was a game where they beat themselves. And this was a game where they didn't beat themselves. And Hoosick did. You know, Hoosick mm-hmm. made, like, 6 errors. But Pittsfield can hit the ball. And when they stopped making mistakes in the field, they were just smacking the ball. They had this huge – the game turned in the 6th inning because they were down – Pittsfield was down 8-6, ties the game 8-8. 2 outs, and they have a 4-run, 2-out rally. Mm-hmm. And now they're up 12-8. They throw a 1-2-3 bottom of the 6th, which, I mean, the defenses had struggled the whole day to just kind of shut down. And all of a sudden, they completely shut Hoosick down. Top of the 7th, they add 2 more runs. So now it's 14-8, and, you know, Hoosick gets 2 more runs, but that's all you can because you've given yourself a 6-run lead. So, hey, you give up 2, whatever, you win 14-10. Huge win for Pittsfield, gives Hoosick Valley its first loss of the season. But it was a really good game, and I think Pittsfield has started to figure itself out this season. They kind of righted the ship. They had a lot more juice. Leadership, I think, was kind of an issue earlier on. There was not really a core to the team. And it seems like now they've started to figure that out. Both Nevaeh Lopez and Brian McDonald after the game talked about Paxton Ebeling and the job that she's done. She had a fantastic game at catcher. She caught 3 foul balls, which, I mean, how often does a catcher even get the opportunity to catch 3 kind of pop flies like that? She caught all 3, including the final out of the game, had a couple of big hits. Was just really, really, really good. And, you know, she called the good game for Giona Lavardi, who pitched the whole game. Did enough to help Pittsfield get the win. And, yeah, it was, you know, Nevaeh Lopez, massive bat, had a bunch of doubles, had a sac fly RBI in the 7th. Sadie Aiken, when it's Mia DeJesus, who smacks the ball into Nevaeh Lopez, into Ella Bassi, into Sadie Aiken, and all 4 of those can just crush the ball like right after each other. The heart of Pittsfield's order is really, really, really tough to beat. And the thing is, Hoosick's order is great too because, I mean, Izzy Tart had 2 doubles and a triple. And she was crushing the ball. Genevieve Legess can crush the ball. Rachel Wright had some good hits. Rachel Anook smacks the ball. They have a lot of really good hitters too. It was just they made some mistakes in the later innings, and that's what cost them. But they're gonna have a great game on Saturday. Hoosick versus Lennox. You know, Hoosick is now 10-1. Lennox is 11-1. They'll play, like we said, they'll play Smith Volk today. They should be 12-0 after today. So that's two really, really good teams. Huzik is number 9 in D5. Lennox is 12. So that'll be really interesting. And because last year, Huzik was up something like 9-5 on Lennox. Lennox scored 4 runs, and then Huzik got a walk-off run to win the game. That was in the regular season. Then they met in the D5 playoffs, and Lennox upset Huzik. So this will be a really interesting game on Saturday. But, yeah, I mean, Huzik looks like a very good team. They're going to struggle when they play Turner's Falls just because they haven't faced a pitcher like Matty Limatainen that Turner's Falls has.
And Turner's Falls has historically been, you know, the gold standard of softball in Western Mass.
They're reigning state champs. They're reigning state champs.
But this is not just for 1 year.
No, I know.
You go back. Gary Mullins is arguably the best softball coach around. And it's a small community, and they just keep turning out players.
Yeah, so that will be a big test, and Huzik needs the test, and I think it's a good thing that they'll play Pittsfield and Lennox now. But yeah, this will be an interesting two-game stretch for the Hurricanes, how they handle it, how they bounce back against Lennox. That should be another game that they'll get up for. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess we got a few minutes left.
I want to switch baseball. Just
baseball.
Howard
yeah.
saw Drury a couple times, or you saw Drury.
I saw Drury.
Yeah, so
yeah.
You both have seen Drury. How legit is a one seed in the state for them?
Oh, I think that's legit. They have two pitchers. They can hit pretty much 1 through 12. They are a very real team. You know, I'm not sure, because we haven't seen, like, Pioneer Valley. We haven't seen English or Georgetown, you know, the teams out mm-hmm. east who are usually very, very good. But Drury is real, and I think we should take them as real. You know, they have a really tough stretch coming up. They got Taconic. They do play Pioneer Valley next Friday.
Okay.
So that's – and, you know, they'll have McCann, which that's a rivalry game. Drury, I think, is legit. I think they could absolutely be a Final Four team. I don't know what Howard thinks.
I think they can be a Final Four team. Of course, so much of it, we talk about all the time, depends on how the bracket falls in a state tournament and who's pitching on what day and whether your pitcher has his stuff. And I look back at, you know, on paper, Belchertown should not be Pittsfield.
Mm-hmm. No.
Not even, but Pittsfield's pitching wasn't there yesterday.
And according to Drew Pierce, that neither was their fielding nor their hitting.
No, that is baseball.
Right, that's life.
I mean, yesterday I was at the McCann-Lennox rematch in a game that when they played the first time, the game went an hour and 20 minutes because that's how well everybody pitched. Not quite the same here, but it's 8-1 going into the bottom of the seventh. And McCann ends up getting the winning run at the plate. And cannot produce either the tying run or the winning run, but that's the nature of that beast,
right? And McCann seems like a good team this year, but doesn't quite have the extra juice that they had last year. But yeah, I mean, to me, Drury seems like a team that can absolutely be Final Four. They have two big tests, like we said, Taconic, Pioneer Valley. And then, you know, Lennox is good. They will play Mount Everett to end the season. Mount Everett's a very good team. So that'll be a good game. I was there for that game. That was Drury, I believe. They won 7-3. I think that was the score of that game. That was a really good game because Mount Everett came out and took it to them in the 7-4. Mount Everett came out and took it to them in the first couple innings. And then Drury responded, so you know they weren't down for long, and then they kind of kept tacking on runs, and never made one or two errors, but that was a very good game, and Drury just kind of had its stuff pitching wise, and Mount Everett didn't quite as much. I think the last question is about Drury and more is about Mount Everett and how far they can go. Because I mean, I think they're 5 in the state right now. So how well they'll be able to do, I think, is much more interesting.
And that's as much of a schedule thing because they are not as deep in their pitching rotation as a Drury, as a Pittsfield, for example. And if there's enough time in between, their main starters can get enough of a rest.
Right.
Because you need two and probably three guys to get to a Final Four.
Agreed. Well, we are going to wrap it up here. I'll say, yeah, Mount Everett, they have McCann, Lennox, Drury as pretty good tests coming up. But thank you all for tuning in here on WTBR, WSBR. Hope you have a good rest of your week. Happy May, and we'll see you next week.